Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast that helps you sculpt your dreams into reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Sunday, and that means it's time for our Zen stream. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. This podcast presents a psychotherapist and Zen Buddhist perspective on the mind and how it manifests your moment-to-moment reality. Ultimately, this podcast is here to help you better master your life, master your reality, through mastery of your mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And on this podcast, you'll find a couple different series that we've been running for a little while. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sundays, and then every so often, I throw in an extra episode here or there related to other topics such as mental health, psychology, or relationships, manifesting, law of attraction, basically anything and everything that helps you live a life that is more in line with your desires and what you want to experience, and of course, just greater peace, greater happiness. So welcome again if you're new. So today is Sunday and it is time for our Zen stream, and I'm changing things up a little bit today. Usually I read from this book I have been anyway for a good year or so now. I've been reading from this book by Thich Nhat Hanh, pretty well known Vietnamese Zen Buddhist, called Your True Home. And I'm sure we'll be coming back to that book in the near future. But today I went to my bookshelf and I was looking, and I picked up a book I haven't looked at for a very, very long time. And this book is called Zen, Merging of East and West. And it's written by an author named Roshi Philip Kaplow. He probably not as well known as Thich Nhat Hanh, but he's a pretty well known American or Western Zen Buddhist. And he wrote this book. He wrote another book, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's called The Three Pillars of Zen. It's considered, one of the, if you're new to Zen, it's one of the kind of tried and true things that you should read that was recommended to me many, many years ago. But I found an interesting passage. And it's talking about, which is a very strong theme in Zen. We have, there's sutras, which I've talked to you all about several times before. Sutra is just a word for teaching. And there's many sutras in Buddhism. And there's some that are considered to be more Zen sutras that basically Zen practitioners kind of see as, again, for lack of a better word, more like... sutras that are more pointing at the path of Zen Buddhism compared to other sutras. So you have things like the Lotus Sutra, which is one of the last sutras, and it was a Nichiren Buddhism focuses a lot on that. In Zen, you have the Heart Sutra. I think also the Diamond Sutra would be considered a bit more Zen. And then you have the older sutras. They're the original, the early sutras, which are a whole different area. Buddhism is pretty vast, and there's a lot of schools within Buddhism that kind of have separated themselves into their own type of Buddhism. I guess it's a result of how our human minds operate and how we like to separate things out and classify them and make them appear different. It's actually kind of funny, but ultimately the point is always to achieve, enlightenment, to achieve a more full life, a more happy life, and to help others, so serve others. So develop compassion. So that's something that you can find across pretty much all types of Buddhism. But anyway, this particular passage I'm reading focuses a little bit on something I really enjoy talking about, because I think it just ties into so much of how we experience our reality. It ties into concepts within Zen. It ties into concepts within Taoism. It ties into concepts within manifesting and law of attraction. So it's just a very pervasive subject that brings and kind of sews all of these different ideologies together very nicely. And it's this concept of emptiness and form, or manifested and unmanifested, which is terms that I've heard Eckhart Tolle use in his book, Power of Now. And in law of attraction circles, you may hear it as source and the manifestations. Taoism, they also call it the 10,000 things and the mystery. So we're basically, of course, here talking about a duality, right? And we're going to get a little more into that in just a bit. But we are kind of talking about duality, where we tend to see all of these physical objects, these manifestations that appear in our moment-to-moment experience. And then we are on the other side of the coin, the other end of the duality. We're kind of pointing at that which we cannot see with our five senses, right? We can't see it, touch it, taste it, but we know, we have an intuitive sense that it's there. And it is, you could say, that thing out of which all of these manifestations spring. So again, it's potential, unmanifested, something you all have heard me talk about quite a bit here on the podcast, as well as on the YouTube channel. By the way, if you're, I don't know why I just thought of this, but I recently just reopened my Twitter account, and I'm posting there quite a bit. I'm retweeting some things I find that I think are really good, and I'm also posting some things that I've written myself on Twitter. So if you're so inclined, you can find me on Twitter, Dreams Warp, and that way you get little reminders throughout the day. Of stuff related to manifesting, Zen, Taoism, peace of mind. So make sure you follow me there on Twitter to get that good stuff. Now, I'm gonna share this passage with you out of this book, and it's basically a student asking about emptiness. Okay, so going back to duality, we're talking about emptiness, source, the mystery, the unmanifested, right? Well, that's what we, I guess, in a sense, what if you're a seeker, right? You have an interest. There's a part of you inside that seems to resonate, or that seems to be drawn to this concept, right? Of what is beyond the veil of what we can see with our five senses. What is the source of all this stuff? And can we align more with this source? What is this source, right? And it's something, I think, that seekers for thousands and thousands of years have talked about, have pointed at, have, emphasized over and over, that being aware of that, okay, and knowing how to, I believe personally, knowing how to shift between fully engaging in this world of forms, and then at the same time having other times where you are more connected to that source, right? To that which is beyond this formed world. And being able to move between those two is a very good skill to have, and it's going to help you better manage the manifested reality that we experience. And of course, it will also help you as you align more with source and you become more in tune with that energy that we're calling source in this case. You will be better able to create more of the things that you want in your life, right? So, this student in this little passage is asking the Zen master about emptiness. And I want to use this as a springboard to talk about this concept, basically, that I want to share with you about emptiness and form and duality. So the questioner, the student, says, "What is Buddhist emptiness? I know the books say it's the void, sunyata, and all that, but what is meant by form is only emptiness, emptiness only form?" Which, by the way, let me interject here. That's the direct line from the Heart Sutra: emptiness is form, form is emptiness. So the teacher, which is the Roshi, says here, "Suppose you are a craftsman working in silver and you want to make a small figure of a Buddha. When your silver is molten and flowing, it has the possibility of actualizing itself into any object. That's emptiness, no thingness. When you pour the molten metal into the mold and it hardens, that's form. But now, let us say that after you've formed your Buddha, you are dissatisfied with it and wish to make something else with the same silver. So you melt down the figure and the silver returns to formlessness. In essence, then, this emptiness is no different from the form. All this, don't forget, is only a conceptual model, not the real thing. So tell me, how would you take hold of emptiness as concrete fact? Come forward and show me. It's a little koan there at the end that he kind of hits the student with. And koan, for those of you who haven't heard that term, is basically a question that a teacher poses to a student that's supposed to penetrate the thinking mind, go kind of past the thinking mind, basically confuse the thinking mind, and you're supposed to be able to present a response that shows that you are coming from somewhere outside the thinking mind. So I'm not going to tell you what the answer was, because that's like a big no-no. That's something you have to work on with a teacher. You know, there's some pretty cliche that are actually kind of funny koans out there that I've heard, like in pop culture, you know, like, what's the sound of one hand clapping? If a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound, right? And nobody's around, does it make a sound? Those kinds of things, kind of funny. That's in a sense, you know, there's always a grain of truth in those kind of funny things. And so that's the koan practice. But basically, I really like this metaphor or analogy that the teacher uses here to explain form and emptiness and how they are the same thing. And this ties in so beautifully, I think, to how we talk about certain things in law of attraction, but even more so, it points to something that is now becoming more and more scientifically provable, okay, which is this idea that our whole physical manifested reality, which I've talked about here plenty of times, is nothing but basically a dance of molecules, as Eckhart Tolle calls it. It's basically just a bunch, literally, it's like a soup of molecules that come together, coalesce in certain patterns, and then our senses interpret that patterning, and you know, that information goes up to our brains, and we interpret it, and we say, oh, tree, or, oh, desk, oh, person, right? We have these labels, right? And this is kind of how we go about creating something out of which what is basically, using these terms, what is basically nothing. It's just emptiness, just raw quantum data, raw material. Now, let me pause here for a quick second. Let me allow a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back to talk about another passage that connects this to life and death, and then we'll talk a little bit more about manifesting. Just give me one moment. All right, you all, thank you for your patience. I am back. So we're talking here about emptiness, form. We talked about the metaphor of the molten silver. You could use clay, would work just as well. Like, you see, you have a bunch of clay and you form something out of it. It's still clay, right? It's just taken different forms. Now, I remember a few years back, I remember reading, and this is so many years ago, probably my memory of it is not really, you know, reflective of the truth. But I remember reading when I was much younger, these series of books, Conversations with God. And there was a lot of, in that book, I remember as I read it, one of the questions that surfaced for me was, you know, if we at some point, let's get into hypotheticals here just for a second. If we at some point, we're pure source energy, right? And obviously, by asking this question, we are kind of solidifying the concept of time, which in and of itself is a delusion. But again, just roll with me here. So if at some point we were pure source energy, right? And we somehow ended up in this current reality, which seems to be, okay, seems to be appearance-wise separate from source, right? Because of the duality that I talked about, we seem to have this duality or these two phases almost of reality, one being the manifested, right, which is our physical reality, And we talked about the other end of that duality, which is the source, which is the emptiness, right? The formlessness. Then if we had formlessness and we are now creating this practice of aligning more with formlessness, my question always was when I was younger is, well, if formlessness is so great, right? I'm supposed to align as best I can with this formlessness, this emptiness, this source, this God essence, right? Then why did I choose to come into this physical reality in the first place? It's like, this is physical reality. You know, back then, my thinking was, oh, this physical reality, you know, everything takes so long to manifest. And, you know, there's so much bad stuff that happens in this world. And there's, you know, there's so many people doing bad things. And, you know, it's just, you know, and we have these bodies and they get old. And you know, this is kind of the stuff that was in my mind that I was thinking about. And I that question became so, I became so fixated on that question. Why? Why did I choose this? Why did I choose to come into this reality? And it's a topic that's touched upon in that Conversations with God book. And but none of the things I read in there really answered the question for me, really satisfied that searching that I had. And then one day, out of the blue, I don't even remember how it happened. I was walking the dog with my wife. This was maybe like, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. It kind of smacked me in the face. And so the question came up, why did I choose this physical reality, right? Why did I disalign, so to speak, with source, with that emptiness, which is supposedly, quote unquote, so much better, right? And the answer hit me very, very clearly. And it said, you didn't. You didn't choose. You didn't. And it really, it hit such a chord, and I'll explain how, because what I realized is that we never came out of alignment with source. I'm not in anything that is separate from source. It is only my deluded perception that makes me think that I chose something different than source. And it was at that moment that I realized fully, not just conceptually, that source and the manifested world are not at all separate. Meaning, just like it said in this book that I just read, and just like it says in the Heart Sutra, emptiness is form. Form is emptiness. They are one and the same. And we have now this, like I was just saying a little bit ago, scientific evidence that basically everything is nothing but potential energy. It's not until our senses interpret it and our mind labels it that now it appears to be something other than the potential. So in other words, our senses are constantly changing. We never have direct experience of reality, and it's something that is discussed quite a bit in Zen. We never experience reality 100% directly. It comes filtered through our senses, through our minds. It's something I've talked a lot about here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. So the process, the practice is about realizing that everything that we are looking at, everything that we are seeing, tasting, smelling, touching, everything is source energy. It is. There's no distinction. No distinction at all. It is only when we begin to throw in a lot of mental activity, like believing, creating ideals, creating categories, seeing things as separate from each other, liking some things, disliking other things, that we add more credence to this seemingly apparent reality of things, of objects, of again, the physical reality. So this is potentially, okay, if you're doing this the way I hope it's coming across, is that if you are aware of this and you maintain this awareness as often as possible, what starts to happen is that you start to really, really live an experience where you are much more in control of what you are experiencing on a moment-to-moment basis, meaning that your ability to manifest more moments where you feel connection to everything and you feel more grateful and you feel higher vibration, you feel more joyous, you start to really pierce through the veil and see the magic of the universe in which you are living. You start to have a living, breathing experience of the fact that this universe is recreating itself through you every moment you take a breath. When you are able to experience each and every moment from that sort of perspective, automatically, your life starts to change. You start to see more possibilities, more potential, more joy, like I said, more gratitude, more love, more abundance. It starts to just become your living reality because you begin to realize that all of the raw materials for you to manifest anything are here right now. It's not anywhere in the future. It's not anywhere in the past. Future and past are mental projections coming out of that same linear thinking mind, okay? That's it. Time is a byproduct of our thinking mind trying to grasp the infinite. It can't do that. So instead of experiencing it as infinite, it breaks it down into pieces, and it's the creation of those pieces getting organized by the thinking mind that creates the illusion of time. But everything is happening at this moment, as you've heard many teachers say, and all the raw materials, okay, whether you want to use modern terms, like all the raw molecules, quantum mechanics are around you right here, right now, to manifest whatever you need. And if you want to use more of the, I guess, lack of a better word, classical terminology from Buddhism, is that the formlessness, the emptiness. And emptiness is really doesn't quite capture it, right? Because when we hear the word emptiness, we think of like nothingness. And that's not, it's like when you're looking at the denotation of that word, yeah, it sort of makes sense, but it's the connotation of the word empty that doesn't really put across the right meaning. When we say emptiness, what we're really talking about is the unmanifested, the infinite potential, the clay, the molten silver. It can become anything right here, right now. But it's a matter of not just knowing that conceptually, it's a matter of living it, breathing it, having it become a true emotional experience. And that's when potential really starts to open up for you. So I hope that this information came across clearly. And that we touched on some subjects that helped you in your practice today. I didn't even get into the life and death piece. It's making this podcast episode just way too long. But in a nutshell, it's basically talking about even the formation of us as people, right? As personalities, it's coming out of this same soup of potentials. And when our body appears to die, it's really just quantum material rejoining the totality of everything to be remanifested into something else. So, topic maybe for another day. We can get a little bit more into that, but I'm gonna leave this where it is right now. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a couple days with another installment of Tuesday Taoism, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.